Well, thanks to John Coffey and Matt Gorder sending it over here to us at the Quaff as the KXEV Maryville KRNW Chillicothe's coverage of Northwest Missouri State basketball continues with Andy Peterson. I'm Matt Tritton, our Northwest Missouri State men's basketball postseason special. And Andy, I feel like the opener of the tournament, maybe a little closer than a few fans expected.
Yeah, probably than you expect, but the first one's always the hardest. You know, that's Coach Tapp's preached that from day one. When I stepped foot on the campus of Northwest and we started coming down here to the tournaments, the first tournament ever, 2003, my redshirt year, and we've talked a ton about it. We've seen it at the regional the last 2 years. The first game of any tournament for any team is always the toughest one. Really, for Emporia, it's almost a benefit to come up and play yesterday. So they're used to the venue, they're used to, you know, just the regular routines of stuff, that sort of thing. So really good basketball game. I don't think, you know, we didn't play terrible. We didn't play bad. Emporia played a great game today, and it was a tight one. But to be able to come out on top of it at the end of it's all that matters. So onward we move.
Well, like a lot of the MIAA teams we've seen throughout the year, Emporia State is slowly building something. Head coach Craig Doty there in his first season. And, you know, they weathered a storm early on as Northwest came out and got up by double digits. I think a four-point play from Joey Wittes made it 17-7 about 5 minutes into the game. And Emporia State kind of, you know, stood their ground. Julius Jackson, 21 points in that first half. And all of a sudden, Emporia State's hanging around. And tournament time, I feel like that's what you get scared of. The lower seeds hanging around, all of a sudden it kind of creeps into everybody's mind of, are they going to find a way to come back and get us?
Right. And that's what everybody loves about March basketball. I mean, you mentioned the lower seeds, but when you get to a tournament play, seeds don't matter. Your regular season record doesn't matter. All that stuff goes out the window. It's truly just a winner-take-all game every time you go out there. So that's the hardest part for fans, for players, for coaches to get wrap their head around is everything you've done for the last 6 months helps you, but it doesn't win or lose you the game. You've got to go out and compete and play. And, you know, that's why March basketball is so exciting at any level, in any venue, in any tournament. It's that winner-take-all mentality because Northwest, you know, being 29-0 and Emporia being 14-15, that meant nothing when the tip goes up. So, yeah, a lot of credit to Emporia for just for hanging around. They had some big shots. I think, you know, it went from 5 to 10 two or three, four times there in the second half. And, you know, they're able to hit some big shots and get stops when they needed and gave themselves a chance at the end. But good for us, the good guys came out on top.
That's right. And you mentioned there a minute ago, too, that that first one is always – it's a tough one. You kind of got to get some momentum, get rolling there in a tournament setting, and we see that a couple years ago with the region in Maryville to where Northwest survives Upper Iowa going to win a national championship. A season ago, Minnesota State comes into Maryville.
Right.
They find a way to knock off the Bearcats in the opener. It's big for everybody to get that first one, but how much more important is it whenever you see Trevor Hudgens in his first time suiting up, playing in a tournament game at Municipal, same with Diego Bernard and some of these other younger guys getting that experience.
Exactly. You know, Ryan Hawkins, who seems like he's been here forever, he's a sophomore. Welty's a junior. Kirk's a junior. You know, you've got all these guys that really don't have a ton of experience. And if you think about, we won the national title 2 years ago. Ryan Welty was the only one that saw that game. So the rest of them are new in the last 2 years or so that saw action in that game. So the rest of them are new. And, you know, like you said, they won the tournament here last year, but then that one game and done in the national tournament last year. So not a ton of experience in the tournament setting. So it'll be a great learning experience today, you know, obviously to be able to win a game like that. Coach Mack mentioned it after the Western game last Tuesday. You know, to be in a game like that was perfect. It was great for us because that helped us win today. So, and I think he said that after the game. Maybe it was in his post-game interview or something, or maybe even Tuesday in the media lunch about, you know, we might look back and thank Missouri Western for that game. And that's the truth because you get into a situation like this when you're up 10 and the team makes a little run and you're up one or two or tied or something like that, and the ability for the guys just to kind of gather themselves. And Joey made two big plays down the stretch and stepped up and hit his free throws. Hawk hit his free throws, and you come out on top. But being able to rely back on, like I said, the 29 games for every season doesn't win or lose you the game, but it gives you some experience and some ability to rely on and to reflect back on and adjust do what you need to do to win basketball games in March.
Northwest Missouri State men's basketball 30-0 now on the season after wrapping up the MIAA conference schedule. 19-0, got that top seed in the conference tournament and came out with an 82-79 win this afternoon over Emporia State. It looked like as the season went along, still a great offensive team and tons of weapons. Whether the legs got a little tired or whatever the case may be, the offense tailed off just a little bit, which it's hard to expect them to shoot the way they were for the entire season. But going from February 28th, wrapping things up against Washburn, now to March 7th and getting back onto the floor, is there something to be said with for having fresh legs but also finding a way to get back into that rhythm? Because I know Coach Mack loves that rhythm of what a week is of a Thursday, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday
right.
each week.
Right. And so the answer is yes and no. And maybe.
That's what I was looking for.
So it's very difficult. I think you notice with the team, when you win the conference title with four games to go or whatever, that kind of, you've got the number one seed locked up. You've got, all the little expectations or marks or goals you've got at the beginning of the season, you achieve them with 2 weeks to go in the year. And that's difficult then to maintain your focus and your level of why we're going out every day and playing, other than just we want to win this game. And it kind of takes that chip off your shoulder too, because, I mean, let's be honest, when the guys saw, we were voted number two at the coaches poll at the beginning of the year, that's all that Mac needed. That's all that those guys needed, was for people to feel like they weren't supposed to win. And so you give them that motivation, so then you're locked in all the time and your shots are dropped, but then, like I said, you win that conference title and you've still got four games to go or whatever it was. That I think that plays into just as much, if not more, than the tired legs or it's in the season and that sort of thing. But once again, you get in this tournament type of setting and your legs don't feel so tired. They feel tired now, 10 minutes after the game. But during the game, you're not feeling it. You're going out and getting it done. So
you get things wrapped up and hopefully you see things wrap up on Sunday afternoon. Right. A little more tired at that point.
Absolutely.
But you find a way to get through with the adrenaline.
No question.
Media and fan perspective, I know it means something, but does 30-0 mean something right now to Ben McComb and that team?
Nope.
Behind closed doors, it's kind of like, wow, this is cool.
I think in 1932, the Bearcats went 31-0.
They did.
Something
one
like
step
that.
Closer, yeah.
So, yeah, you're one step closer. But no, right now it means nothing because you're 0-0 again, honestly. Even the game today, as soon as it's over, you get to move yourself forward in the bracket, and then it matters not. You don't get credit. You don't get any type of push forward from what you've done in the past in a tournament setting. It's truly 0-0. So, no, Coach Mack doesn't care that he's 30-0 right now.
Here's another question for you, and this is, a month into the future, if Coach Mack can go out fishing and sit there and think to himself,
yep,
he's accomplishing stuff that,
yep. That's when it means stuff.
Right.
That's when it matters to you, is when you're fishing after the season's over. And you can look back and reflect on the whole.
Right.
But when you're in the throes of a conference tournament at Municipal Auditorium, yeah, he's already – I mean, he's probably already freaking out about the game tomorrow, the Lincoln Hayes game. And he's yelling at Zach to try to figure out the scout and – Zave's trying to calm Mac down, and it's a mess. It's just a mess.
A snapshot
right now
of what that's like.
Yeah, I mean, we can do another radio show sometime, and I can just tell you about what goes on behind the scenes.
Well, we're bringing in Austin Meyer a little bit too, and I figure you guys have been in those coaching rooms. You guys have all the stories.
You don't. That's. I mean, there's a reason why neither one of us are working for Mac anymore. No, I'm just kidding. That's terrible. I shouldn't say that. No, it's wild. It's when you get to a tournament and you're down here in Kansas City and you're walking to the arena from the Marriott, and it's truly an experience that, as a player, you love it. It's the best thing ever. It's the best part of the college basketball experience in the MIAA. As a coach, it's grueling because you're moving on to the next goal, and there's so much living and dying by each play and each game that you really can't enjoy it until – hopefully Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock, whatever it may be.
So Northwest Missouri State men's basketball, an 82-79 win this afternoon over Emporia State. 30-0 now on the season. Moving on to the MIAA tournament semifinals, as Andy Peterson mentioned, that's coming up Saturday at noon, and then the championship game, if the Bearcats make it that far, will be Sunday coming up at 1 o'clock. A reminder that support for today's broadcast here from the Cloth in Kansas City comes from State Farm agent Nick Coderman, Rapid Elite in downtown Maryville, the Maryville Chamber of Commerce, Chocksnitch, and El Nepal Mexican Restaurant. We're going to take a timeout here from the Cloth in Kansas City. When we come back, we'll be joined by a former assistant coach for Ben McComb, Austin Meyer, also the current Northwest Missouri State women's head basketball coach. That's coming up after a break here on KXCV KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Northwest alum Nick Coderman of State Farm Insurance in St. Joseph. Nick provides life, auto, and homeowners insurance. More information is available at 816-233-0040, right at his office on North Belt in St. Joseph. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Rapid Elite in downtown Maryville, providing printing and copying of letterhead, envelopes, business cards, posters, and more. Rapid Elite also features website design, ink and toner, and UPS and FedEx shipping services. More online at rapidelitemaryville.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from El Nepal, a family-owned restaurant bringing a taste of Mexico to Maryville. Located on South Main, El Nepal offers daily lunch and dinner specials and happy hour from 4 to 7 Monday through Thursday. The menu is available online at facebook.com/ElNepalMex5. Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Greater Maryville Chamber of Commerce, committed to the growth of Maryville and assisting its more than 250 member organizations. The Chamber also offers monthly socials, ribbon cuttings, and professional development programs. More information is at MaryvilleChamber.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Jocksnitch on North Main to Maryville, supplying Northwest Missouri State fans with apparel, workout clothes, shoes, and more. Jocksnitch also carries a line of Adidas Bearcat gear. Uniforms and screen printing are also available. To view the full selection online, Jocksnitch.com. Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
And welcome back into the Cloth in downtown Kansas City with Andy Peterson and Austin Meyer. I'm Matt Tritton and talking a little Northwest Missouri State basketball after the Bearcats come away with an 82-79 win this afternoon. And Austin, appreciate you coming in. Well, first of all, wrapping up the women's season at first-year head coach for the women's basketball program. I know you asked about the transition a lot, but now kind of sitting back and watching this men's program after you're not in it as an associate head coach, what's it like to kind of just sit back and enjoy a basketball game like that?
It was more relaxing than it's ever been down here. I know that game was a little closer late, but I just felt like we were going to win the whole time. You know, even though they're late, they made some plays. Emporia was pretty good down the stretch, but Joey and Trevor and company, you know, found a way to get it done. But it was fun to sit up there and watch as a fan and a little bit different perspective.
Are there times for each of you going through as a coach there sitting next to Ben McComb, and especially whenever, you know, the later Deshaun Cooper years, then Justin Pitts rolls in, and just the programs that we've had the last 6 years especially, where maybe things aren't going Northwest's way, but you kind of sit back and you see who's on the floor and you say, got a pretty good feeling about this one.
I mean, there were times when you feel like, I don't know. I guess the relationships between Mac and Austin and myself on the bench, probably not something we need to talk about in public and what gets said, but at one point or another, I feel like we did a very good job of keeping the group of us. Somebody was grounded at one point or another. Mac, usually Mac, lost his mind, and so it was either Austin or myself trying to calm him down. But then every now and then, usually me, then next I would kind of lose my mind, especially the officials, and Austin was usually the voice of reason. But every now and then I had to keep Austin in check.
I was going
to
say, how often did Austin lose his mind?
Not very often. He usually was pretty solid about who we had on the floor. But, yeah, it got interesting for sure. But at a certain point, you know, through even like you said, the later Cooper years with Dylan Starzl and Kozad and Wallace and those guys, there was just more comfort because you knew that even if you lost, it wasn't the end of the world because those were just such great – at the time, they were such great kids. They were just such good men. that you could hang your head high knowing that you played right, you played the right way, they're good kids, they're doing the right things. But in the long run, it's turned out to be, you know, those dividends, we're reaping those dividends now more so than ever. So,
well, let me walk you through a different one, too. Let's go back to, man, was it 15-16 at Augustana, second round of the tournament. Connor Crooker hits the game winner. Nope, or was it 14-15? Say one in 15-16, right? 14-15, Connor Crooker hits the game winner in the second round to beat the home team on their floor in a game that was like in the 50s, I think.
Yeah.
What's the feeling like there? What are the nerves going into that moment of like, it's on the line right now?
I think it's, you know, it's a little bit different than maybe the last couple of years because you had more of that kind of hunter mentality where you were going into somebody else's place. You were the underdog. Obviously, you know, everybody was confident that we could get it done. So where now, you know, 30-0 right now, there's a little bit element of pressure that you're supposed to win. Everybody expects you to win, and a lot of times that's tougher than just going in as the underdog and competing and playing. But yeah, those were some good times. I remember that Connor on the little ISO drive with his left hand finishing that, and to beat them when they were the number one seed, a packed house at the Pentagon. I mean, that was you know, that was a win there that really propelled the program.
And really in back-to-back years, too, going to Minnesota State and then coming back at Augustana, back-to-back years.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You go back even further. Round one in Minnesota in 12-13, we're playing Winona. Winona, not Winona. I was told the other day they win, they don't whine. So it's
I've been mispronouncing that this whole time.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, traditional powerhouse, you know, doing some great things, Coach Leaf and all that, and we blitzed them pretty good. And then we play Mankato, who had just – they were stacked. And I don't know if we were completely confident in that game. But we played – and we were whipping them pretty good. They got close at the end. But you feel like you're almost playing with house money. When you're the 4-seed, 5-seed, and you get through that first game, and it's like, hey, you got nothing to lose here. All the pressure's on that number one team. And you see it a lot, like we were talking about. The first game's always the hardest, especially for your number one seeds. You're kind of just doing – well, then the same thing next year with Augie. And then all of a sudden, the next year – well, you're not the 4-5 seed anymore, you're the 2-seed. And then the last 3 years, you've been the 1-seed in the region. And so to what Austin's saying about it, it gets tougher with that preparation and your mentality going in of you're not just pinning your ears back and going, you're defending something too. So there's a fine line there. But, I mean, you see it a lot. We've seen it down here a lot. Back when we played, I think there was 5 years in a row the number one seed lost in the first round. It's just hard to do. It's hard to maintain that expectation and hold that up to – not only yourselves, but you hear it all the time from radio guys and SIDs and the fans. You know, they kind of plant those seeds, not on purpose, but those seeds get planted, and it's just hard mentally to do that. So, yeah, the kids that started it, I mean, Cooper and Dylan and those guys, D'Angelo Haley even the year before that, those guys, Alex Sullivan, they've kind of flipped that whole thing around to where it's a lot of fun.
And not to get off track from, you know, going down memory lane, because I want to go back and get some more stories, but whatever you think about, you know, the lower seed, playing with house money, you get through that first round. Radio guys and other people like myself, and I don't mean anything derogatory, but you see a Southwest Baptist as the 10 seed, and you say, man, love to see them beat Washburn and make it, find a way to make it to Sunday, right? Does that make everything a little more tense? Would you rather see Washburn, the 2-seed, matching up with Northwest on Sunday?
I've always said, I think we talked about it a little bit last night, anytime you kind of drop your guard down, and Mac would be the first one to not let that happen, you set yourself up for trouble. So they're going to prepare it the same way. You know, honestly, I think this team would prefer to play a Washburn or one of the top teams rather than have an upset happen and play another team. And then the other thing, just to go back to what you guys were talking about, the pressure of the number one seed, you know, you saw it a little bit today with Emporia. Northwest always has the bullseye on their chest right now, but then you get into these tournament games and now you got guys playing against the bullseye, and then you got guys that are maybe playing their last ever game. So there's also that element of I really got nothing to lose. I'm playing the number one team in the country that's 29-0. This might be my last game. And guys can do things that you may not have seen during the regular season or at other points.
Here's your first story.
All right, let's go.
Not necessarily a story. State of mind for MIAA tournament weekend from a coach's standpoint. You mentioned upsets. If Coach Meyer has the Washburn scout, so he is in charge of the Washburn scout if we ever play them. Okay. Andy Peterson has the SBU scout. Austin is cheering for SBU.
Andy's steering.
Less work for the other guy.
Less work for the
I want to go eat pizza in my room and watch SportsCenter. I don't want to have to watch five more games
right.
of film.
You can go recruiting. You can do whatever. Go hang out with some people. Hank, it makes it a little more enjoyable down here.
It doesn't take a slight step back as far as the scout whenever you've played these guys twice already?
No. No way.
No, because you prepared.
Mac Pylon more?
Yeah. And Mac, he's going to ask you every single question about that game that you need to have answers for. The fun times was when it was a couple years ago. I think Austin had.
Don't bring it up. It was Minnesota.
Moorhead.
Yeah, it was Moorhead.
Yeah.
We had.
In the regional.
Yeah, we were sitting.
Mankato.
We were playing the next game, or we had played earlier, I don't know. Moorhead was playing, and we had, and I'd been watching them for a couple weeks. And so they ran, I think they had
Mankato.
75 sets or something that they had ran
75
through the year.
Sets.
So I had them itemized out. Here's this horns drive set, horns flare. This is what they ran this many times during the regular season. So I had every single set from the entire season itemized out, had every set that they ran during the game. Personnel-wise, driver right, driver left, shooter, whatever it may be, they lost the first-round game, and I had a notebook of about 20 pages. I dropped it in the trash can and went back to the hotel, and I think AP
I had the other scout. I had Mankato.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And me, being what I thought was intelligent, was like, well, they're not going to beat Moorhead. So I did no prep work to the point of Austin.
It worked out.
And
yep.
Well, but that's March. But that's kind of what we're getting back to. As coaches, you don't want to put in 2 weeks of work to scout the next game, because if UMBC rolls in, I guarantee, I don't even know who UMBC played in the second round last year in the national tournament. Whoever had that Virginia scout, I guarantee you he was ready for Virginia the next night. Did not matter. And so that's kind of what I was alluding to earlier with Mac doesn't care. He's 30-0. He's already grilling Zach and Zave about Lincoln and Hayes and getting their last four game films for both of them and all that stuff. So the funny thing is, what we used to do, we would have a draft at the beginning of the year, Austin and myself and the GA, and we would select what teams we wanted to scout. And we spread it out so you didn't have people just getting hammered at one point of the year or not. But then when you get to the MIAA tournament, that kind of goes all out the window because there's no schedule. It's just, you know, so you might have, for example, tomorrow, Zach might have the Lincoln and who are they playing tomorrow?
Hayes.
Yeah, he might have both those scouts. So he's watching. He knows he's got the scout for Saturday. But if you got, like I said, he's got one and Zave's got the other, I guarantee you they're cheering against each other so they don't have to worry about the scout going in. So that's kind of the stuff that plays into the coaching aspect of the MIAA tournament.
I think there's an element, too, with the scouting that is – it's less work when you don't have the scout, but you also feel so much more into the game
when
it is your scout. You know, I always think about if we play two games in a week, we play a Wednesday game, and I'm an assistant and I have the Saturday scout. Well, Monday and Tuesday, I'm already watching for Saturday's game. So when you get on the bench for a Wednesday game and you're playing Southwest Baptist, but I got the Central Missouri scout, so I got Central Missouri's plays in my head and their personnel, it's hard to be totally into the game.
Right.
Now, obviously, as a head coach, Mac would never do that. I would never do that. You're focused on the next game. But as assistant, you can look ahead a little bit and try to get out in front and prepare ahead of time.
That's the value. I'm going to jump in again. That's the value of us in the past and way in the past, even back with TAP, of having multiple GAs. And, you know, Darren Vorderberg, he was the assistant, but we had Skip Shear as a volunteer assistant. And he had two GAs. You know what I mean? So you could spread that out. Because I think what we've done a tremendous job of in the past, as Austin said, you're not so just invested in the game and the X's and O's of it, but you can coach the culture stuff. You can coach the guys playing hard. You can coach the guys communicating and just all the culture stuff that we've built that Mac and TAP and Mac have been able to build for 20-plus years, 30-plus years. When you have multiple eyes on it, I don't think you can put a price tag on that. For the kids, especially, knowing that I've got coaches that are watching me, and if I come off the floor, I can ask somebody. Somebody was watching me that last play and can help me out with, you know, offensively, defensively, what's going on. Or if I'm dogging it, I got somebody that can chew on me a little bit and get me going in the right direction. So you're not invested. I was also saying you're not invested in the X's and O's, but you're watching culture stuff. And I think there's a huge benefit to what we've been able to do in the last however many years of having, two or three, four assistant coaches, managers. I mean, they're technically managers, but they coach. You know, Mac and Austin on the women's side with Macy and Mason and Grant and some of those guys. They're coaches. Their title is manager, but they're coaching. They're coaching people and investing in kids. And that's the stuff that pays those dividends I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, and really teaching. Invaluable experience.
Absolutely.
Those kids
yep.
as well. Yep. I asked you a little bit about it last night, Austin. First couple of years, things were rough. Young point guard named Deshaun Cooper and things going well, and he kind of saw what he was going to had a chance to become. But at any point, do you kind of sit back and say, I think we can set a lot of records here in the MIAA and run off 6 regular season titles, a chance for 4 straight? I mean, what Northwest has done, so many great coaches and teams in the MIAA over the years, just an unprecedented run right now.
Yeah, I mean, like I said last or the other night, that I expected it to get to a high level with Coach Mack. Obviously, it was with Coach Tatmeyer as well. I expected just the way he works and his mindset and demeanor. But to say you expected to win the league 6 or 7 times in a row, be 30-0, is tough. Obviously
get into Hank Iba territory
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, some pretty impressive personnel he's with. But I think too, just the like you said, Deshaun Cooper's, the Justin Pitts. I mean, always having a closer. These last 6 or 7 years has been big. Tonight it was, Joey Wittes late. Obviously Trevor is in that situation too, but Justin Pitts, I mean, had a bunch of really good teams with multiple guys that can beat you. But sometimes at the end of the game, you just got to get it to you got to get it to Mariano Rivera and close the game. And Joey did it tonight, and we saw it over the years with Justin and Deshaun as well. So I think that's been a big part of it. And obviously from the point guard position, Mac's been able to get kids in, develop them, and maximize that potential.
Joey Wittes, the new inner Sandman.
That's right. Sure. That's right.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. But to have a roster of kids that understand that and appreciate it, they're not jealous. They know it. They know their roles. And allow those closers to be the closers. I think you see that on a lot of teams that's not the case. You don't have that cohesion, that unity and the culture of, This is my role. This is my job, and I'm going to do that and let you do yours, Matt, and let Austin do his, and blah, 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 down the line. Sometimes that's probably just as, if not more, difficult than having I'm Mr. Jackson today that went bananas. He was their closer today. But I don't know I think Craig will probably get there eventually, but having the culture of everybody bought into that and really not caring and letting him do that, So, because there are games when people don't have a great game. Justin didn't have great games all the time. Cooper didn't have great games all the time. But that's when your teammates can help you. That's where it's really, really special. Those kids, the horses that we've had, but the supporting cast that let them be horses is just as special, I think.
I think today, too, you look at, obviously, Diego getting in foul trouble. He's been playing at a high level, but Kirk Finley, one of those guys that just always brings it. He's not a guy that's going to wow you, and he knows that, but he brings it every single day. I think about his driving kick to Welty for a big three there late in the second half, and then just defensively kept keeping balls alive, rotation, stuff like that, back cuts. So just the little things, and then we talked about the other night, just even the Dre Stars of the world that would be playing significant minutes on other teams that maybe doesn't get a lot of minutes, but is calling out plays on the bench and still into the game. So that's the culture thing where kids aren't transferring. They're not joining the other 1,200 kids that are transferring every year because things don't go right. They want to be a part of it and be successful.
Austin Meyer, appreciate your time. Look forward to seeing you coach this women's basketball program in Kansas City before long.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We'll be down here next year.
So. Looking forward to it.
Yep.
Austin Meyer, Northwest Missouri State head women's basketball coach, joining us here on KXCV KRNW. We'll take a time out. When we come back, we'll chat with Bob Mahofsky with Northwest Missouri State Alumni Association about what the Bearcats have coming up throughout this weekend as well as in the future as well. So stay tuned here to KXCV KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Greater Maryville Chamber of Commerce, committed to the growth of Maryville and assisting its more than 250 member organizations. The Chamber also offers monthly socials, ribbon cuttings, and professional development programs. More information is at MaryvilleChamber.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Rapid Elite in downtown Maryville, providing printing and copying of letterhead, envelopes, business cards, posters, and more. Rapid Elite also features website design, ink and toner, and UPS and FedEx shipping services. More online at RapidEliteMaryville.com. Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by Pitsenberger Auto Body just off South Main in Maryville. providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pittsenburgers also installs Ultimate Truck Bed Liners. More at 660-582-4599 or pittsautobody.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from El Nopal, a family-owned restaurant bringing a taste of Mexico to Maryville. Located on South Main, El Nopal offers daily lunch and dinner specials and happy hour from 4 to 7 Monday through Thursday. The menu is available online at facebook.com/ElNopalMex5. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Jock's Niche on North Main to Maryville, supplying Northwest Missouri State fans with apparel, workout clothes, shoes, and more. Jock's Niche also carries a line of Adidas Bearcat gear. Uniforms and screen printing are also available. To view the full selection online, jocksniche.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Thanks for coming.
Welcome back into the Quaffin at downtown Kansas City. Matt Tritton being joined by Andy Peterson, Northwest Missouri State Athletic Director, co-hosting with us here from the Quaff. Also, Bob Mahusky with the Northwest Missouri State Alumni Association hopping on the air with us as well. And it's always a fun time for Bearcat fans to come to Kansas City. There's so many already living in Kansas City, so many alumni as well, Bob. But this is kind of a big weekend for you guys as well, a chance to branch out and see a lot of faces that we don't always get to see in Maryville.
Oh, gosh, you're absolutely right. We have over 10,000 alumni that live in the metro area. And so when you talk about, you know, the backdrop that the MIAA tournament gives to us to come together as fans and to support a great team, this is really a great tradition for Northwest and our alumni. And so we take advantage of it, and we show up, obviously. There was a great crowd today. Definitely was majority of Bearcats, so we like to see that, and it's only going to grow on Saturday, so we're looking forward to seeing everyone at the game and then also hopefully at our event afterwards.
I'm concerned about a lot of our alumni keeping their jobs, because it was Thursday at noon.
Right, yeah.
They're pretty strong, showing.
They're might have to call in sick for a little bit.
Right, and I was joking with Ken Scribner, which I shouldn't call him out, but and here he is now, too. Like, there's no way he has any vacation days
right,
left.
Right, yeah.
There's no way.
That could be some concern. Maybe we'll have to write some of the HR offices to excuse some of those absent Bearcats from work. So
that's working a lot of weekends in the off season, so you can come out and do this.
That's exactly right.
here at the Quaff here as Northwest Missouri State Alumni Association holding their Bearcat gatherings here at downtown Kansas City at the Quaff. This is the second or third year in a row we've been here.
This is the second year that we've been here. They're really great with us. The atmosphere they have in the windows, they have welcome basketball fans. It says Bearcat fans in it. I mean, this is a home for us. And so I think we fill it up nicely, and this is the place to be if you want to be with other Bearcats today.
And I know that getting set up, they're extremely accommodating to us. Anthony runs the Quaff, walking around in a Bearcat polo, so he's supporting Northwest Missouri State. So it's a lot of fun, and they really take in Northwest Missouri State as well. But overall, weekend festivities, what do you guys have planned? What's coming up?
Sure. So Saturday, of course, will be the basketball game. We're asking everyone to show up early so that way we can get them some beads. We're actually handing out something new this year. It's, of course, our green and white beads, but we've attached a medallion onto it that says Bearcat Madness, so kind of playing off of that March Madness piece. And so we believe that that's going to give us a little extra luck to get our team to the championship game. And so come to the entrance of Municipal, and we'll be there handing those out while supplies last. And then, of course, after the game, we'll be here at the Quaff, and we'll be doing chips and salsa for everyone. I think there's also cheese dip in there, too. So we are handing out koozies to everyone that has the Bearcat paw on it, and so you can keep your drink nice and cold and won't have to worry about it getting warm on you. Otherwise, just keep on cheering on the Bearcats this weekend. Hopefully we'll be here on Sunday as well, and we'll do it all over again.
Well, you're listening to KXEV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. And, Bob, as we look forward to Northwest Missouri State and what the Bearcats have done and now 30-0 on the season, we'll see the NCAA tournament actually, the bracket come out later in the weekend. But I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that we'll host the region for a third year in a row.
Good deal.
What should Bearcat fans look forward to if Northwest is hosting again the next weekend?
Honestly, I would say get your tickets first. They are going to go fast. I know that there's only a certain amount of tickets that they can sell for those games, and so our fans like to show up. And so if you're definitely wanting to go to it, get your tickets by going to our athletic ticket webpage. And then probably show up early to get your seat. People want to be there. It's general admission, so it's wherever you want to sit. So get there early so you can get your seat and get ready to rock the place, because it's going to be pretty packed and it's going to be pretty fun.
We actually sold out. We stopped selling tickets to the Missouri Western game 2 weeks ago, last Tuesday. So
yeah, I heard we had to maybe even turn some people away.
We had to turn some people away. We had to lock the doors, that sort of thing. So now obviously you've got, you know, a couple, 300, 400, 500 students there that walked in for free. But I agree with Bob. Get your tickets. They'll go on sale Sunday night at 10 o'clock p.m. after the announcement. I think the announcement's at 9:30 p.m., so tickets go on sale at 10. So you can watch the show on NCAA.com and then hop over and grab your ticket. And that's regardless of if we're hosting or not, which we will. But at 10 o'clock, get your ticket. Be there. We're going to play in the second session. So we've got the 5:30 game on Saturday. And then if we win that, obviously, we'll play Sunday evening and then again on Tuesday. So exciting things. It'll be a lot of fun. As Bob said, it is all general admission. We have to do that just for NCAA rules. We have to provide so many seats behind the benches for home and away teams. And so by doing that, we can't honor season tickets because we don't have enough other dedicated seats to accommodate our season ticket holders. So not the best situation for our season ticket holders, and I know there's some angst and some bad feelings about that, but it's really the only way we can do it and host for our, and put the best show forward for our student athletes and what they've done and what they've earned. So that's kind of the gist there. But yeah, Sunday night, 10 o'clock, get your tickets, and then we'll see you next Saturday in Bearcat Arena.
Won't want to miss it. It'll be a lot of fun. And Bob, I know you guys always have a lot of different things going on and people wanting to get involved. If they want to get a hold of you guys, what's the best way to do it?
Just, you know, really reach out to us at the Faust Alumni and Friends Center. They can give us a call at 660-562-1112, and we would be happy to talk to them about some of the events either within the Kansas City area or maybe within their area. A lot of our chapters around the country do events on the first Thursday of the month. So Omaha, Des Moines, Columbia, St. Louis, they're all doing chapter events on that first Thursday. So if you live in one of those metro areas, you know, definitely reach out to us and we'd be happy to connect you to one of our chapters. Or if you're listening to this and you're like, I don't think we have a chapter in our area, you know, I would encourage you to reach out to us and we'll see what we can do to get one formed in your area.
Bob, sounds great. We appreciate your time.
Perfect. Thank you. Go Cats.
Thanks,
Go
Bob.
Cats. That's Bob Mahusky with Northwest Missouri State University Alumni Association joining us here from McCoff in downtown Kansas City. We're going to take a time out. When we come back, we'll be talking with John McCarthy of Small College Basketball. He's kind of the czar when it comes to everything NCAA Division II basketball. That's coming up on KXCV KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Northwest alum Nick Codeman of State Farm Insurance in St. Joseph. Nick provides life, auto, and homeowners insurance. More information is available at 816-233-0040 or at his office on North Belt in St. Joseph. Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Mill and Dinsdale Seed Company in Maryville, Oregon. Representing Golden Harvest Corn and NK Soybeans, Mill and Dinsdale reminds you that there are no practice fields in farming. More at millanddinsdaleseed.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from King City Lumber. Specializing in post-frame and all-steel construction, King City Lumber provides planning, design, and construction services for all commercial and residential buildings. More information is at kingcitylumber.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Back in Kansas City, Northwest Missouri State men's basketball picked up an 82-79 win in the quarterfinal round of the MIAA tournament a little earlier this afternoon. And now going on with our Northwest Missouri State men's basketball postseason special here on KXCVKRNW with Andy Peterson. I'm Matt Tritton. Now being joined also by John McCarthy of Small College Basketball, founder of Small College Basketball, right?
Got it, and thrilled to be on with you. Thanks for having me on, Matt.
So first, the first couple games we see Northwest play this year against Northern State, a two-point win in overtime. Then they come back the next night. They beat the defending national champ Ferris State by 14, 186 in the Small College Basketball Classic there from the Civic Arena in St. Joseph. First off, a great event, well put together, and it's so fun to see teams like, I always see Queens in the top 25 and putting up crazy numbers. I can never see them there in North Carolina. You brought them into the Midwest, and so it was awesome, an awesome event to kick things off with.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's it's a lot of time and effort, and frankly, it's just a real passion for college basketball to have the Hall of Fame component integrated with the Hall of Fame Classic component. It was a thrill in person, frankly, to have Terry Porter and we had ML Carr in person, the two leading scorers in the history of college basketball, and John Pierce and Phillip Hutchinson there. Truck Robinson was there for the Hall of Fame induction. And then we bring in eight of the top teams in the country. And this year I thought was particularly neat. We had the defending champion and the previous year defending champion, Northwest Missouri State. And when we put those pieces together, I thought, boy, we want to match those up with each other. And we did that second night, as you know. And so we had Northwest open up with the national runner-up and then the national champion back-to-back nights. Was pretty special, I thought. And a heck of a season for the Bearcats to get started there against some top-level competition. And, you know, I think you bring up a good point. We want to have a mixture in that Hall of Fame Classic of a local draw or two, if you will, as well as truly a national flavor. It's a national event. So we had, you know, Fairmont State was the national runner-up the year before. Northern State was the national runner-up last year. Ferris State was the national champion last year. And you bring in Queens, who was in the Final Four the year before. And frankly, they're top 10 again now in the country right now. And so we've got what I think is a pretty darn good field. And then in about 1 to 3 weeks after the Elite Eight is over this year, we'll announce the field and the matchup for next year for 2019, as well as the Hall of Fame induction class of 2019 as well. So we're working on putting both of those together as we go forward for 2019.
Do you have an idea of who is going to be in and is going to be back in St. Joseph? Or
putting
on the spot?
I can tell you the second part of that is I do know it's going to be back in St. Joe. We just put out the press release on that. Be back at the Civic Arena. The one tweak we'll make a couple tweaks, is the Hall of Fame induction ceremony is going to move to the Missouri Theater downtown, have a really neat setting for that. An old theater has been renovated, and we'll have a social event, VIP social, right after that. And that'll be on a Thursday this year. It'll be October 31st on Halloween, and the games will move to Friday and Saturday. The second other part of your question is, do I know who's going to be in it? The answer is yes, but am I going to tell you no? That's why we have a press conference.
There you go.
Matt has to ask. He's just that way. It's part of his
job.
Before he did radio, he was a journalist or something. He's always trying to break big stories.
So a year ago at this time, we won't even get into that right now. Andy Peterson, the Small College Basketball Hall of Fame Classic, what we saw last earlier this year, and all these teams coming into it. It seemed like before you'd have to travel to all these other places. I know that Northwest would travel to Hawaii or Florida, right, wherever the case may be. To have that in their own backyard, that's huge.
Yeah, and for to the credit of Small College Basketball and getting, you know, that high quality teams in for people like Coach Mack, for coaches like Coach Mack, Paul Sather, Northern State, those coaches, they want to play those early season tests. And if you win them, win or lose, it's great for you. It's a good measuring stick. But then if you win them, it gives you a leg up in the regional rankings at the end of the year, because those are, you know, they're top 10 teams in the nation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you know what you're kind of up against. You know what, you know, the litmus test early is pretty good. I think obviously we've seen the benefits of that this year. And then for us, selfishly, when it's in St. Joe or you know Kansas City, Omaha, Des Moines, whatever, the Bearcats travel, and so for our people, they'd be a bunch of them in Hawaii. You know, we shouldn't say that either. But
and I'd be okay with a trip to Hawaii.
Right.
So I want to make two points on what you're saying. One, I want to credit the coaches. Because if you think about that, the one thing I tell them up front is that you're going to play somebody good.
Right.
And I'm not going to tell you who you're playing just yet because first I got to know all the eight teams in it before we can handle the matchups.
Right.
But I can tell you you're going to play somebody good. And that's sometimes a difficult pill to swallow, so to speak. That's probably the wrong way to say it. There's some coaches a little adverse
right.
to playing two nationally ranked teams in the first two games of the season.
Back-to-back nights.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
And now the
right.
flip side is that everybody else in there is doing the same thing.
Right.
But some coaches shy away from that high-level competition that early in the season. Frankly, some shy away from it all season as best
right.
they can to build their win-loss record. But I was on the Division II committee for a while. I was on the chair of the South Region for a few years. And one of the criteria that people forget about at points is strength of schedule. And at the end of the day, of course, everybody wants to win their games. But at the end of the day, this will help build your strength of schedule when you play teams that are very highly ranked.
And
I mean, clearly they have to do well throughout the season,
right.
but you know, as people see the way it plays out, they have typically done very well. I mean, the last few years we've had everybody from Bellarmine to Findlay to Southern Indiana and on and on, Lincoln Memorial and Alabama Huntsville and so on. Pretty much you look down your top tier of teams and they've been in the event or they will be in this next year or soon thereafter. So I want to throw out a real kudos to the coaches that have sort of the strength, if you will, to say yes. Now, having said that, my phone and email goes pretty good with people trying to get in. Because the second part of this that I want to thank is the Conference Commissioners Association. They have given us an exemption for the event, so the games count in every way except against your limit. So if you notice that Division II basketball can play 28 games, but you notice coming into the tournament, Northwest, you guys have already played 29.
Right.
Technically, you could have played 30 by this point coming in, and so you get two extra games, and a lot of people like the fact you can play high-level competition, get two extra games onto your schedule that you wouldn't be able to otherwise. And the Conference Commissioner Association has been wonderful. They, in fact, I can say this now because this was just confirmed, that they have now given us a three-year exemption rolling going forward. So for 2019, 2020, 2021,
yep.
the exemption's already been granted. And at the next year's convention, they'll simply vote to just extend it for another year so it will stay as a three-year exemption.
And furthermore, on that point, small colleges, Division II, with the regionalization format that I think they just announced today that they're going to stick. They had a task force looking at it, and they're going to stick with that for the Division II level. It's part of what it is. No big deal. You're not going to play some of them just because budget reasons, and travel and whatever else. You're not going to play anybody outside your region. You want to play region games. You know, your 28 games you're allowed. You want to play region games to give you a shot at the regional, and then you make the regional, and you're playing teams in the region. So there's one game a year that we are guaranteed that's out of region, and that is the Elite Eight game for whoever comes out of region. So this tournament is an option to go play the Fairmont States, the Ferris States, Alabama Huntsville, whoever it may be, from across the nation that you might not get later in the year. So for our student-athletes, for the student-athlete experience, and we hear that a lot in Division II, you know, a lot of coaches and fans and whatever else, oh, we really want to play somebody else, especially in the playoffs. It doesn't feel like – you know, we'll hear it next week. You know, we're hosting a regional in Bearcat Arena. We want it to be in Civic Center or Municipal, whatever. Like, Division II, it is what it is. That's part of it. So to have those games early in the year where you can play teams that aren't in your region, they're high quality, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it just adds to the student experience of, for us, Division II in the Midwest where it's easy to get to and that sort of thing. So kudos to you guys and setting that up for us because it's huge, I think.
We're chatting with John McCarthy of Small College Basketball here on KXCV KRNW. And, John, keeping up with you on social media, it seems like if there's a small college basketball team somewhere in the United States,
you're there.
You know. I mean, you're the expert on it across the board. So when we see Northwest Missouri State move to 30-0 with an 82-79 win today over Emporia State, I don't want to put too much pressure on you, but handicapping the field, I mean, like, What are your thoughts on the outside looking in at this team?
I don't think I'm going to be a handicapper anytime soon. but clearly it's been a magical run thus far. I mean, 30-0. Here's something to put into perspective is in all of what we deal with is all four-year college basketball that is non-NCAA Division I. So that includes NCAA II, NCAA III, the NAI, and even the United States Collegiate Athletic Association and the National Christian College Athletic Association. So we represent about 11 to 1,200 colleges throughout the country. And out of about 11 to 1,200 colleges throughout the country, Northwest Missouri State is the only one team in the country that's undefeated. And number two, we've narrowed the Bevo Francis watch list down to 50 student-athletes, and we'd estimate there's about 13 to 15,000 student-athletes in all those levels that we just described, and two players from Northwest Missouri State are among the 50 in that consideration. Now, just mathematically, that's unbelievable. I mean, just you think about where things stand historically, and I was doing some a little bit of figures the other day and looking statistically. I believe that Northwest Missouri State has lost a grand total of 5 games in the last 3 years combined now. I mean, that's off the charts. That's ridiculous stuff. And I was just talking to somebody earlier about saying, you know, that kind of stuff, first of all, is incredibly rare. But it's even more rare when you play in a very good conference.
Right.
It's one thing if you're a dominant team that, quite frankly, plays in a very inferior conference and you're going to pretty much show up and win games because nobody else in your conference is, frankly, very good. And that's one thing if you run through a conference schedule like that. But one, you're playing in a really good conference. And two, if we look at what we were just talking about, you opened up the season with the defending national runner-up and the defending champion.
Yeah.
It's not like you're playing all Cupcake City here. I mean, these are good teams you're playing and defeating. And it is just remarkable the focus every single day to be able to come to play because teams are coming after. This is the game of the year for everybody to play now.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's just remarkable what the Bearcats have been able to do consistently. You know, every now and then teams have a great game, great streak, if you will, a couple weeks. You just play really well. You're hot, shooting well. But to be that consistently good for that long is remarkable. That's not a matter of, hey, we just really shot well one game or really played great in one facet of the game. You know, Northwest is consistently good defensively, consistently good rebounding-wise, which will keep them in every game. Now, they shoot really well. It becomes a blowout for the most part.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just been fun to watch. A team is so disciplined, shares the ball so well. And frankly, even though I just alluded to a couple players on our watch list for the top players, and deservedly so, I'm so impressed with how unselfish everybody is. It certainly appears, looking a little bit from the outside in, that nobody really cares who gets the credit. They play.
Right.
And it doesn't matter who scores how many points, who gets how much. Statistically, it doesn't seem like anybody cares. The chips fall where they may when everybody does their job so well and so unselfish. It's fun to watch.
It's been an incredible ride, and hoping to see Northwest continue with another game coming up on Saturday here in the MIAA tournament. Hopefully again on Sunday as well in the championship. So we're talking all postseason, right? MIAA tournament, NCAA tournament. If you're looking at the entire country as a whole, outside of Northwest Missouri State, outside of this region, who are you watching? Who's another team that's kind of on the horizon there?
There's a number of them. West Texas A&M's on a real streak right now. As of a day or two ago, I think they'd won 13 straight and are top five in the country. Nova Southeastern's pretty well balanced. And Jim Crutchfield moved from West Liberty State down there 2 years ago, and they've got them at they won last night. I think they're 25-2 now. And they're playing very well right now, pretty well-balanced team. David Dennis went with them and as their point guard, and Mark Matthews playing really well for them. They're just a well-balanced team. They got a player who's one of their top players, was injured for a good part of the season, is now back and played really well yesterday. So they're pretty darn good. West Liberty themselves playing really well. I believe they only have 3 losses. They're starting, I believe, only one senior and 4 between freshmen and sophomores, similar to Northwest. West Liberty's deep. Play a lot of guys, share the ball real well. They're playing really well. And now, if you backed up about 3 or 4 weeks, I would have said, I'm looking forward to Bellarmine and Northwest Missouri State because they're on a collision course. But what happened was Adam Eberhart, who was, I want to say he was the, I don't want to say easily, he was going to be the player of the year in the country. And he got hurt. And when he got hurt, they had an incredible streak. They won 76 consecutive home games.
Yeah.
The seniors had not lost a game at home. You think about that. I mean, you go through your whole career,
right.
They didn't lose a game at home. Eberhardt gets hurt, and Southern Indiana beats them. All credit to Southern Indiana. They won the game. But Eberhardt got hurt and was barely able to play,
right.
And they lost their next game, and now they've lost four. But he's getting a little bit more healthy. I've watched quite a bit recently. He's getting back. He's not the same player he was before the injury. He was just so fundamentally sound. Yep. So much. He's a coach's dream.
He's a senior?
He is. He's 6'8", senior from Evansville, Indiana.
So 2 years ago in the Elite Eight, they were on the opposite side of the bracket, but we got to watch the game. I think they were on the opposite
That's
bracket.
Correct.
And he has a soft. I know what you're talking about. He was a stud.
But he's so fundamentally sound. He's a terrific passer. Now, I've seen somebody label him as a center. He's not a center. He's a basketball player. I mean, whether it's he'll hit it from 3 or 4 feet behind the 3-point line. He'll take the charge. He'll get the putback. He's a coach's dream. Yeah. So fundamentally sound. Easily among the top passing big men in the country. But when he got injured, hurt his, I can't remember his ankle or knee, but he's barely able to move. He didn't miss a game, but he's hobbling around out there because he didn't want to let his team down. Great heart, great kid. But we'll see how he progresses because, frankly, the rest of the team is very good, very solid, but he's the glue for that team. And if he's fully healthy coming back in the next couple weeks, it could be very interesting to potentially see a matchup among a Northwest Missouri State and Bellarmine. But I really think much of that depends on his health.
Yeah. It'll be fun to watch. John, we appreciate the time. If folks want to get in touch with you, they want to get in touch with Small College Basketball, what's the best way to do that?
Oh, I appreciate the plug. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah.
Just go to the website, smallcollegebasketball.com, and you'll see our social media platforms. I might be a little bit biased or possibly incredibly biased, but it is the most comprehensive website that exists specifically on the topics of college basketball at the small college levels. You can take the direct links to any of our social media, the direct links to any of the websites for NCAA 2, 3, NAI, etc. And there is the coach's corner. There's the record book for all time in college basketball at these levels. And there's just a tremendous amount of content. You want to go find out, watch the Hall of Fame induction speeches with Earl the Pearl Monroe and Jerry Sloan, Travis Grant, Dick Barnett. I can probably go on for a while. But they're all on there, and there's a lot of great video pieces, both we created and ones we've put on our historical pieces. Just a tremendous amount of information. So go to smallcollegebasketball.com and check us out.
I've turned in a couple of assignments late because of smallcollegebasketball.com.
Yeah.
You get lost in it. When you're a nerd like myself and you just kind of enjoy that kind of stuff and you get lost in press conferences and that sort of thing, it's bad news. If you've got something going on that has a deadline and it's homework related or something like that, I don't suggest it. If you are a basketball guru and you just want some information, it's the best place to go.
Sadly, I'm kind of a millennial. It's always on Twitter, and I'm always just every night watching and seeing what else is going on around the country.
So it's
my source.
So much good stuff. You'll see tonight we'll put out I'm going to get back in front of you. What's kind of fun at home, I got two computers, so I can get two games on each one. I could do more, but when they go to commercial break on one, you can click on the other and do that on both screens at the same time. And, it's Saturdays it's something I kind of feel bad at home because I'm married to a wonderful lady and I've got a wonderful son, and I'm home, but there comes
you're not home.
I'm not as present as I probably should be, and my wife is probably a little tired of hearing about Northwest is now only had 3 turnovers today and won by 17 today.
Hey, my wife is too.
But then I tend to go on and on about what just happened with Lincoln Memorial and Cornerstone's Sam Vanderslice today just had 20 points, 27 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 blocks in today's win. And and I jump on to see how Cameron Hunt was doing at Southwestern today and see they won, and he had 32 today, and on and on. And
is she a basketball fan, though?
No, not really at all. Actually, she's not really even a sports fan. So we come up with other topics of discussion.
Sure,
that's good. At least you haven't mixed it up. I give one team, and that's all I talk about, and so you can mix it up. So,
hey, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate
John,
the opportunity.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
That's John McCarthy with Small College Basketball joining us here on KXCV KRNW. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will dive more into Northwest Missouri State Athletics here from the Quaff in downtown Kansas City.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Jock's Niche on North Main in Maryville, supplying Northwest Missouri State fans with apparel, workout clothes, shoes, and more. Jock's Niche also carries a line of Adidas Bearcat gear. Uniforms and screen printing are also available. To view the full selection online, jocksniche.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Northwest alum Nick Codeman of State Farm Insurance in St. Joseph. Nick provides life, auto, and homeowners insurance. More information is available at 816-233-0040 or at his office on North Belt in St. Joseph. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from El Nopal, a family-owned restaurant bringing a taste of Mexico to Maryville. Located on South Main, El Nopal offers daily lunch and dinner specials and happy hour from 4 to 7 Monday through Thursday. The menu is available online at facebook.com/ElNopalMex5. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Rapid Elite in downtown Maryville, providing printing and copying of letterhead, envelopes, business cards, posters, and more. Rapid Elite also features website design, ink and toner, and UPS and FedEx shipping services. More online at rapidelitemaryville.com. Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Greater Maryville Chamber of Commerce, committed to the growth of Maryville and assisting its more than 250 member organizations. The Chamber also offers monthly socials, ribbon cuttings, and professional development programs. More information is at MaryvilleChamber.com. Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Back in downtown Kansas City, Northwest Missouri State men's basketball with an 82-79 win this afternoon over Emporia State. Back at the Quaff in downtown Kansas City as part of our Northwest Missouri State postseason special with Andy Peterson. I'm Matt Tritton. The Bearcats, three-point win. Joey Wittes, 27 points, also getting 26 from Trevor Hudgens. And so a nice attack there from Northwest Missouri State. You see the Bearcats able to do that, and a couple guys mentioned on that Bevo Francis watch list, if they're able to keep doing that, you kind of like the chances as the Bearcats go through this tournament.
Just win.
Just win. I mean, it doesn't matter who, but,
no.
But when they're hot, it's
fun.
Yeah.
Austin alluded to it. It's part of, you know, we've got the Cooper, the Pitts, the Joey Buckets, whatever Coach Mac likes to call him. That's great. That's wonderful. But to what John was saying about, you know, there's a reason we've got two kids on that list, the top 50 in the nation. It's because they don't care. They're willing to share. They don't care who gets – I go back, I believe it was the Oklahoma trip, and we played at Northeastern State first, I believe. I don't know. Joey had 3 points. Shot it like 4 times, 3 points. And then we go over to Central Oak, and he had 30-something. He don't care. It's not about the stats. And it's not just Joey. It's the whole team. They don't care. They just want to win. Max got him coached up on what it takes to win and how to do it and go about it. And John alluded to it, just the defense and the rebounding. If you're solid in those spots, you've got a chance. And then if it's those nights when you're shooting 60% from three, you're going to win by 30. If you're shooting 30 to 40%, it's going to be a tight ball, whatever. But just win, man.
Also joining us now, Andy Peterson, it's Matt Gorder with the Bearcat Radio Network. Matt, how are you doing?
Hello. After today, a little tired, you know?
You know, it's kind of nice when you sit back and coast, but
takes some recovery, you know, even for us radio guys. We get tired a little easier than the guys on the court. I'm just saying, probably our fitness level, but
walking up the stairs,
it happens.
A little more tired than those guys, too. So.
That's right.
That's right. Just 21 years? This is 20.
It's 20 years with the Bearcat Radio Network. This is my 20th season. When I was in school, I did sideline reporting for 2 years with John for football games. So basically 22 years of broadcasting Bearcat sports. And this will be the last one.
And honestly, I just want to throw out there, too, it's great experience, and you worked at KXCV, KRNW, and going through as a sideline reporter, and I believe some of John's best sideline reporters were named Matt as they went through.
100%.
You guys, I don't think either one of you know this, but I talked at halftime. I talked to John Coffey.
Yeah, I saw you down there.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I said?
No, I was way up high looking down.
Gorder, did you hear what I said?
No, I was busy.
So what I said was, Matt, we talked about we were able to recognize you at halftime.
Yes,
you know,
yes. That was
for 22
absolutely
years
wonderful.
Bearcat radio stuff.
Yeah.
John asked me about it. I said, well-deserved and all this stuff. And then he said, well, and busy day for you, Andy, because you're going to go to the Quaff and do the thing afterwards. I said, yeah, that's the job interview between me and Matt Tritton for your spot.
Nice.
I like it. And I told John, I think I'm winning.
I'm happy to defer to you. You have way more going into this than I do.
I mean, part of it is I know that I'm interviewing for the job and you don't, so I've got that up on your book.
But didn't. Now he does.
In my double A, bring your A game, man. Every
that's
night.
Right, that's right.
There you go.
No, it's been kind of fun that we've had Andy on some basketball broadcasts and doing this show with us back-to-back years. And I worked with Matt, of course, when I was sideline reporting with John in 2010. And then also a couple postseason games whenever just poor time that John got ill, but I was able to step in and work with you a little bit. So we've all kind of mixed and matched, and it's been fun over the years.
It seems like we're carrying John. Where's John?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, he's chatting with fans and things like
well,
that.
Well, he has to sign more autographs than us.
Yeah. He shouldn't be talking, right? Is that what you – that's what I heard you just say. He should be resting his voice
voice to be prepared for Saturday's
Make
broadcast.
Some tea and honey.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
22
yeah.
years. What, I mean, talk about – I mean, that's
– You know, what's incredible is during that thing today when they were reading off – You know, they put it in terms of Matt has been able to broadcast, and then this list of what the Bearcats have done over the last 20 years is, you know, I got back to the sideline, I sat down with John, and I said, John, how lucky are we? You know what I mean? Because schools will have runs, schools will have times where maybe you get multiple sports that have a lot of success and things like that, but those runs. If you get 5 or 6 years, you're kind of lucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're looking at over 20 years of continued success. You know, a women's Final Four is mixed into there. You've got – matter of fact, they were the first ones to make the Final Four.
Right.
Yeah, the men
right.
won the national championship, but the women made the Final Four before the men ever made the Final Four,
yep.
you know. So, things like that. Obviously, the football, the success football team has had, now consistent success with the men's basketball program. I know, you know, all the other broadcasters around the MIAA, we obviously talk to them a lot when we're, you know, out in the road or they come visit us. And, you know, they're great guys. But I'm sure they're driving home going, God, I can't stand those two. You know, it has to be because we have been so lucky to watch all the hard work that the athletes and the coaches have done. And all we basically do is we kind of show up, sit down courtside, and, you know, put on a headset. Now, there's a little more that goes into that, yes, but, you know, all that hard work we've been able to watch over the years, and it's just it's unmatched. And I couldn't ask for, you know, a better opportunity.
It was hard to put the read together for Matt because it was like, you know, we started going back, well, how long has he been there, 20 years? And then we started listing off all this stuff. Well, he's seen 6 national championships. Nope, 7. And then it was like, oh, 3, like, no, 4. And it just kept adding up and adding up to your point, Matt.
Yeah.
It's been multiple sports, multiple years, you know, decades. Matt Trenton's laughing about it. It's a lifetime. But it's, you
honestly,
you're not
it's
a spring
nearly
chicken
my
anymore.
Entire lifetime.
Well, thanks a lot, Matt. but if you think about it, all that postseason success, so we're talking 20 seasons, but we've probably done 26 or 27
sure.
seasons
yeah.
if you add up all of the playoff post-season, games.
Sure.
And, you know, John and I have joked over the years, you know, how many people root for more work? And that's exactly what we
right.
do. You know, we hope to get more work every year because that means that those teams are having success in the postseason. And you know, that's why it's such a cool opportunity, such a cool job, is because not many people root for more work, and we do every year.
You're yeah. wrapping up your time at the Bearcat Radio Network, but still going to be involved with Tun as the voice of the Bearcats in Bearcat Arena, Bearcat Stadium.
Yeah, and that's going to stay there. I've been doing volleyball, basketball, and football the last few years. Volleyball a little bit longer. Been talking with Andy. We're going to probably throw in some baseball in there. There's going to be opportunities for me to do more track meets. I missed this year a lot except for the Sunday of the MIAA championships because, you know, we were traveling with basketball and things like that. So, but, you know, the big thing for me is it really was a family decision, you know. And talking with Andy and knowing that they're still going to allow me to use a microphone every once in a while, you know, that's where my passion is. And I love to get Bearcat fans excited and be excited with them. But for me, it's all about, you know, family. I've got an 8-year-old and an 11-year-old at home. And for me to continue doing radio, it would be totally selfish. You know, I missed several basketball games of my kids this winter. And it's hard to be, you know, traveling to a game and thinking about that. Now, when the game starts, you don't think about anything but the game and what's
right.
going on. You know,
right.
that's great. But It was totally a family decision, and I can't wait to see them more just because of not having to travel. I'll miss doing the radio part of it, no doubt about it, but the travel is really what has me stepping away.
I can't blame you for the decision, but, man, a ton of great memories to take away from it.
Oh, you know, you're exactly right. There's so many, both personal and, you know, what we saw on fields and courts and things like that. Obviously, the national championships are easy, but you know, some of the road trips we've taken and some of the places we got to go, you know, Sherry, my wife and I had the opportunity to get married in Hawaii because of a Bearcat women's tournament that was held in Hawaii, you know. We had a short engagement because we saw that later that year they're going to be in Hawaii. And we're like, you know what, we're getting married. Let's just do it in Hawaii, you know. So we were able to do that in Kahala Beach. As a matter of fact, the trivia I've got from that is we got married right behind Pat Bowen's house. And people may be thinking, oh, who's that? He was the owner of the Denver Broncos, and he had a house there on Kahala Beach down in Oahu. And so we got married right behind his house on the beach, and that's all because of being able to work with the Bearcat Radio Network. Man. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Changing lives, Bearcats.
My memory of traveling with you doesn't go back to anything that luxurious except for the time that we let David Voice pick where to eat in Hayes, Kansas, and we all got sick.
But
still a great memory to take away later.
Yeah. You know, we always give David grief. Sometimes we let him pick where we eat. Sometimes we don't. That day, he didn't want to wait at the restaurant we wanted to go to because it was going to be too long a wait. So we go to another one we thought would be quicker. We still waited that long, and then we leave. And as we're walking out the front, we hear from around the corner in the alleyway, Trenton, who wasn't feeling well after that meal there. And so we haven't let him live that down.
It's the stories.
Oh,
it's
yep.
the story. I tweeted about it last night. I don't know if you guys saw LeBron James pass Michael Jordan, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So two of his former teammates, Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson, tweeted a video, or they were interviewed, and they were just poking fun at LeBron.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it was really funny. Because you can tell that they love LeBron. They love who he is as a human, as a teammate, and that sort of thing. And so I was supposed to be doing homework, but I was on Twitter. And so, but it just clicked with me really quickly about that's what sport is about.
Yeah.
It's about the relationships. It's about the experiences you have. Because obviously those two guys, now they're all multimillionaires, all this stuff, but they're buddies. And you can tell they're buddies poking fun at their buddy for a big accomplishment. But it's the relationships, it's the stories, it's the experiences, it's all that stuff. And I'm just going to take a moment to thank you, Matt, and John and Matt, because it's been 20 years of high-quality stuff on the field. It's been 20 years of high-quality stuff on the radio. And I can say that. I grew up in North Central Missouri, KRNW, Chillicothe.
There you
right?
go, 88.9.
88.9, right there. That's what my parents listen to every time. Milk Barn. We grew up on a dairy farm. They didn't get to come to a ton of games. They made it to more of my college games than high school games. But regardless, they listen to all the games. They listen to John and Matt. I'd get a text all the time or a phone call, whatever. Tell John and Matt, great job. Listen to the whole thing. We get videos all the time, highlight videos, Andrew Sherry, Kevin Berg, all this stuff, constantly dubbing over the radio call, over the play. And that's kudos to you guys and what you do, what you've done, because there's a lot of people that don't get to go to Hawaii,
yeah.
but they were in Hawaii because of what you guys do and the stories you tell,
yeah.
And the way it comes across through the airwaves. So,
it's been so much fun.
Great
it is.
Stuff.
It's I was telling John earlier today. I said, well, I guess the way you look at it, you know, I was talking earlier about how it's a family decision, so I can watch my kids play sports and stuff. I said, how many thousands of parents' kids have I watched their kids
yeah.
play over the years?
Yeah.
I said, well, you know what? It's only fair if I watch mine.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And that's another thing is, you know, there's been such great, not just athletes, but I know all the coaches at Northwest recruit good people. They've passed on great athletes because they weren't necessarily the you know, the type of person, and that makes it easier too, you yeah. know, just having great people to work with and work around day in and day out.
It's been a lot of fun listening to you, Matt. We're hoping we get quite a few more basketball games this March.
I'm hoping for 8 more.
More work.
I'm shooting
more
for 8.
Work for Matt.
8 more works.
Sorry, Sherry. I'm sorry.
She's okay with 8 more. She can handle it because she sees the light at the end of the tunnel. Now, of course, next year at this time, she may be thinking, hey, by the way, will they rehire
yes.
you?
Just roll the road trips yes. anyway.
You yeah. know, just travel with them and sit behind John. Yeah. You know, just even if you're not doing it, just go away. We'll see.
I don't know. That's kind of, poor Sherry. Then she wouldn't be able to see you or hear you.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's the one thing is she's always been able to trust me because I can't. I'm not sneaking
You're
away
because
if you don't hear me on the radio, then I'm sneaking away, and that's never happened. So,
Matt, appreciate your time. We'll listen to you again on Saturday.
Absolutely, sounds good.
Matt Gorder with the Bearcat Radio Network joining us here from the Quaff in downtown Kansas City. We'll take a timeout, and then John Coffey will hop on with us as well. So that's coming up on KXCV KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Northwest alum Nick Codeman of State Farm Insurance in St. Joseph. Nick provides life, auto, and homeowners insurance. More information is available at 816-233-0040 or at his office on North Belt in St. Joseph. Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Millen Dinsdale Seed Company in Maryville, Oregon. Representing Golden Harvest Corn and NK Soybeans, Millen Dinsdale reminds you that there are no practice fields in farming. More at millendinsdaleseed.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from King City Lumber. Specializing in post-frame and all-steel construction, King City Lumber provides planning, design, and construction services for all commercial and residential buildings. More information is at kingcitylumber.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Back in downtown Kansas City as we are continuing our Northwest men's basketball postseason special from the Quaff as Northwest an 82-79 victory earlier today. On the call, there's the voice, John Coffey. He's joining myself and Andy Peterson here from the Quaff. John, we appreciate you coming in and chatting with us. And we just had Matt Gorder, your longtime partner there, who's hanging it up. I believe the debate is now, are you going to give the job to Andy Peterson or myself?
Well, I'm just kind of wondering how the audition has gone. I know Andy was talking to us at halftime that he's kind of using this as an audition for maybe stepping into that role next year. And I did a good job at halftime. I'm pretty sure he's...
I wasn't going to tell him that, John, but it accidentally slipped during the last little spot there. So he's aware now that he's auditioning.
He did the Truman State game with me last year. And what was the other one? Do you remember?
Oh, we did that classic. Because John and Matt went to the football game at Ashland, and so we did a classic. Who'd we play? Truman and
I can't remember.
Upper Iowa.
Okay. Is it up? Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, sounds right. We'll go with that. But either way, if you go back and listen to that tape, he knocked it out of the park. So I think he has probably earned it. But if you, for you, John, who've been doing this for 30 plus years, right? This is a pretty incredible run watching right now. 30-0 and a chance to get into Hank Iba territory to win tomorrow.
Oh, it's a special time. And we were talking on the broadcast about 10 years ago or so. We were kind of looking at each other saying this is kind of the golden era of Northwest athletics, and it just keeps getting better for him. You know, you just wonder when this run's going to stop. But I don't see any end in sight where things are going.
No, and both of you guys with great relationships with Steve Tatmeyer, one as a player and then a GA for him, right?
Yeah.
And then, John, you've been, interviewed him for probably 20-plus years here at Northwest Missouri State and still keep in contact. When you see Ben McCollum, even though he's talked about not trying to be Steve Tatmeyer, are there aspects where you're like, man, that's Coach Tapp, or he just has the same sort of presence on the sideline?
Well, I think the thing that I notice more than that is just – the emphasis on defense. I mean, both coaches and defense maybe a little bit different than what you're trying to do with it, but both really seem to start things from defense and then build on the offensive side, and I think that's something that I see that's similar between the two now. I think there's some, and the game's changed a little bit since when Tapp was coaching too. You're seeing more of the three-point shot really become more of a focus for everyone in college basketball, but I think just really building a solid foundation on defense really is the similarity that I see between the two.
No comment. No, I'm just kidding. all the culture stuff, all the things, I want to say little things, but they're not little anymore. I feel like it's the reason why we've been as good as we've been for you know, 30 plus years with Tapp and Mac, is the attention to detail, the little things that we do every day. I was talking to Coach Korn, Coach Robert Korn, former head coach at Missouri Southern today, and we were talking about it, just reminiscing a little bit, and we were just talking about how the national title year 2 years ago, we do zigzag drill, which is you do zigzag drill at third grade basketball camp with kids, just teaching them positioning and how to move your feet and that sort of thing. We did that the day before, or the day of, the first workout in September. And we also did it the day before the national championship game that year. And it's just that kind of, and Mac, he kind of jokes about it. Austin and I would go in there, whoever would go in there and say, what's the practice schedule today? Like we didn't know what it was going to be. We knew what it was going to be. It's zigzag, shell, and just you go down the line, you know. And we got that from Tapp. I mean, we did shell drill every day, and it was the same. You knew what the preseason was going to be like. You knew what the non-conference season was going to be like. You knew what conference was going to be, and the expectations and practice lengths and that sort of thing. And so it's just that attention to detail and putting the team above yourself. I think Tapp was a genius at that. His ability to coach each one of us individuals as individuals, but pushing the team forward at all times. And Mac does the same thing. He coaches every one of those kids and how they need to be coached. But you can see that there's no eye above the team at any point.
And I think a similarity between the two is that they both like practice and love practice love the teaching part of it. It really probably more so than they do the actual games. I know a lot of times some of the games kind of tear you up as a coach in getting into that, but just the aspect of teaching the kids and getting them prepared for a game, those are some of the things I think both of these guys really excel at.
Yeah. Mac is no fun during a game. He's a lot of fun at practice. Tapp might be the opposite. Tapp was no fun at practice. we had fun. I don't know. I hope Tapp's not listening. He's going to make me run sprints or something like that.
Wasn't it Mac that made you run more than Tapp when you were a freshman?
My redshirt year, we came back from Christmas. Tapp told us to go home for Christmas, and then we came back. Me and Matt Withers and Kyle Garner were the three redshirts. We come back a couple days, not early. The team came. We came back the same time as the team did from Christmas break. But we had been off a little bit longer because the team went to Vegas that year. But we didn't the redshirts didn't travel. So we come back, work out, whatever, and Tapp told Mac, you've got the redshirts. We need to get them an extra workout up until the first game. Okay, whatever. Well, little did I know, Mac just went complete bananas on us for no reason at all. And then he blamed Tapp. Like, it was Tapp told him to do it. Like, Tapp's like, no, we did a 15-15, which is just a silly – not silly, it's incredibly – we do 20 and 20. So you do 20 wind sprint, 20 suicides, and an extra down back in 1 minute for 20 consecutive minutes. It's brutal. If you think you're in good shape, go and try and do that. We did a 15 and 15 the first day back from Christmas break. Like, we haven't been eating food and Christmas cookies and all that, not running for a week. And Mac's like, oh, yeah, well, Tapp wants me to run you guys. He's trying to act like he's our friend. And he was just berate, just to see what we could take. I seriously think that whole year's a GA, he was just doing crazy research trials on me and Matt Withers to see what we could handle.
And he came out better for it.
Well, the teams now do. I can't hardly walk because of some of the stuff he made me. No. Yeah, he was crazy. Mac was crazy. He's a GA. He's calmed down a little bit, if you can believe that.
Yeah, a little bit. It's fun to see his personality, especially if you see him in the hallways at work. And I don't know, maybe in the media it's a little bit guarded. I think it's coming out a little bit more. But for those that don't know, I mean, he's a really fun guy and a really funny guy too.
Yeah, I think he has a lot of fun on our coaches show that we have on Thursday nights. Yeah. And then post-game, a lot of times, if the game's gone well, he's a lot of fun there. But pre-game interviews, he's a little tight for that.
He's not a lot of fun game day. But other than that, he's a blast. I think he's having a lot more fun with the media. You know, when you go through streaks like this, what we've seen the last 6 years, he gets the same questions. And it's not the media's fault. It's not the, you know, the journalists or whatever. Guys, the kids interviewing, the student media, it's not their fault at all in any way, but he's getting asked the same questions, you know, all the time. You know, what's it like to be the number one? What's all this? And so if you've noticed, and some of them are catching it on, you know, I know that Wegley and Dykstra and some of those guys are catching on. Some of his interviews at Pizza Ranch, they get kind of wild. They're kind of off topic.
Yeah, I think he had a big discussion on lasagna last week.
That's what I'm saying. So he's, I think he's kind of figured out that part of it, of not, eating, breathing, and living basketball all the time. He's get those guys to talk about other stuff. But Yeah, he's a deal. I don't know how else to. He's a deal.
I thought he showed great leaping ability this afternoon at one point on one of the calls there in the second
he's
half.
He's got to be careful. Yeah. You know, he tore his calf a few years ago. You remember that whole debacle? working out, he tore his calf. He needs to take it easy because I know he doesn't stretch before games. So
might have to look into that from here on out.
Next time, if you want to talk about, you know, we play in the Cornhusker State games every year, a bunch of us former Bearcats, Scott Fleming, Chad Fleming, Jesse Shaw, Austin, myself, Hunter, pretty good crew. We go play in the Cornhusker State games every year. Well, one year, Mac tore his calf a month or two before it, and it was a big deal on if he's going to play or not. And he gutted it out. He's tougher than he looks. I'll give him that.
I think he might be in better shape now than when he played.
That's probably not too far from the truth, John. Matt, Coach Staff would probably agree with that. I shouldn't say that.
Well, Northwest Missouri State, a chance to improve to 31-0 if they can get a win coming up on Saturday. John Coffey, the voice of the Bearcats, will have that call pregame at 11:40 with tip-off coming up at noon. John, we appreciate you a long broadcast, but then coming by and chatting with us.
Glad to be here.
That's John Coffey, the voice of the Bearcats, joining us here at the Quaff. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we will wrap things up from downtown Kansas City.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from El Nopal, a family-owned restaurant bringing a taste of Mexico to Maryville. Located on South Main, El Nopal offers daily lunch and dinner specials and happy hour from 4 to 7 Monday through Thursday. The menu is available online at facebook.com/ElNopalMex5. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Rapid Elite in downtown Maryville, providing printing and copying of letterhead, envelopes, business cards, posters, and more. Rapid Elite also features website design, ink and toner, and UPS and FedEx shipping services. More online at rapidelitemaryville.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Northwest alum Nick Codeman of State Farm Insurance in St. Joseph. Nick provides life, auto, and homeowners insurance. More information is available at 816-233-0040 or at his office on North Belt in St. Joseph. Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Greater Maryville Chamber of Commerce, committed to the growth of Maryville and assisting its more than 250 member organizations. The Chamber also offers monthly socials, ribbon cuttings, and professional development programs. More information is at MarryvilleChamber.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Jock's Niche on North Main to Maryville, supplying Northwest Missouri State fans with apparel, workout clothes, shoes, and more. Jock's Niche also carries a line of Adidas Bearcat gear. Uniforms and screen printing are also available. To view the full selection online, jocksniche.com. Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Back at the Quaff downtown Kansas City as we wrap things up with Andy Peterson. A fun show of kind of looking back on a lot of good memories for Northwest Missouri State men's basketball and hoping for quite a few more as we, potential for 8 more games.
Yeah, I don't have any bad memories of Northwest Missouri State. That's why I'm still here, Matt.
There you go. Just keeps it around.
Coach Tapp, Coach Mack, Adam Dorrell, Coach T, Rich Wright, Austin P. Meyer, John and Matt, my team now, Lori, KO, Colin McDonough, McKenzie. It's been a lot of fun. Matt was joking about 20 years. You know, I haven't even been here that long. I told him at halftime we recognized him. He's not a spring chicken anymore.
No, like, no, he's not.
It's just, it is what it is. It's not. Let's not kid ourselves. So, anyway,
he's had two kids since he's been working for Northwest. You've had a couple kids since you've been working for Northwest. I mean, it's.
Yeah, two and one on the way.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
I didn't know that.
April, little boy.
You know, you can go the Kanye West route and name him Northwest.
Nope, not going to happen.
Consider it. We'll think about it.
No, we won't. Okay.
And also, update on what we have in the tournament right now. Washburn is leading SBU by 12 with 12 minutes to go. Northwest Missouri State with the win over Emporia State earlier today to improve to 30-0. The Bearcats will get the winner of Fort Hays State and Lincoln. They're playing tomorrow at noon. The Bearcats will get the winner of that one coming up in the semifinals Saturday at noon at Municipal Auditorium. That's going to wrap things up for us here from the Quaff in downtown Kansas City. Thanks to our sponsors, State Farm agent Nick Kodeman, Rapid Elite, Maryville Chamber of Commerce, Jock's Niche, and El Nepal Mexican Restaurant. Also a big thanks to all of our guests and Andy Peterson for hopping on with me. This is always a good time.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. Well, let's do it again every year.
We'll keep it going. Northwest Missouri State back in action on Saturday. Tune in to pregame at 11:40 with tip-off coming up at noon here on KXEV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. Right now, though, we'll dive into all things considered on 90.5 and 88.9.